Probably India's most illustrious and celebrated captain of all time, MSD or Mahendra Singh Dhoni, retired from all forms of cricket and has left an outstanding legacy behind him. He was the only captain, only Indian captain to win three ICC titles under his captaincy, that is the ICC World T20 in 2007, the ICC Champions Trophy in 2013, and the coveted ICC World Cup in 2011 in home conditions in Mumbai. Nobody who's followed the game in the last couple of decades can forget the visuals of the 2007 World T20 final as Srisant caught Misbah-ul Haq, or when Dhoni finished off the game against Sri Lanka at the iconic Wankhede Stadium, and in the rain-curtailed 2013 ICC Champions Trophy final, as Dhoni's strategic acumen made sure India won that with some amazing bowling changes and field placements. But more than the fact that he has won so many titles and he was able to put Indian Test cricket also, up in the map, as in his captaincy, India became the number one in world rankings for a period of 18 months. It is the very fact that he's humble, calm, and cool, and presented himself in very affable and likable manner right through his playing days, starting from his time when he was a young hard-hitting batsman with long hair, coming in to demolish batting attacks, and then he carried that ability to demolish attacks and plan an innings pretty well right through his career. He has seen his fair share of dips and lows and has got a lot of admiration and love through his stint with CSK, which will continue even post his retirement from international cricket. But the fact is, people, including me, who have not been that much of an admirer of his captaincy, especially in Test match cricket, you cannot take away the glory and the success he has brought to Indian cricket, and more so the beautiful way in which he has allowed Ravi Shastri and Virat Kohli to transition into this current team and where they are now. And for a classic example of that would be when India plays under Virat Kohli and Dhoni is around. Most of the time, Dhoni takes care of the field placements and handles strategy. So that's the kind of respect and love which Virat Kohli has for MS Dhoni's strategic acumen. And last but not least, he's probably India's best wicketkeeper batsman in their history, because I have personally not seen an Indian wicketkeeper who is that good behind the sticks and is that fleet when it comes to stumping. He is so lightning fast. So I have seen many other keepers around the world who could be much better wicketkeeper and batsman as a package overall, who could probably rate higher than MSD. But from India, definitely he would be the best in that regard. So it does feel a bit strange, but it was on expected lines, because we know that he's not young. He's 39 years of age, so he's not going to come back to this Indian team and walk into a one day or ODI or sorry, a one day or a T20 team now. and knowing Dhoni and his approach to groom and build young talent, he would have sensed that his time is up. So he decided to hang his boots in his typical unassuming fashion, just by sending out a small message on Instagram. So that's how he is. And I think we at Cricket Unplugged would thank him for all the memories he has brought to Indian cricket and to world cricket as well. And on a personal front as well, I did enjoy what you brought to the crease, Mahi, through your keeping and your batting as well. Certainly, I would still maintain I'm not a big fan of your captaincy as a test match skipper, but I think everyone is entitled to his or her opinion, and that's my opinion. And hope you have a good innings post your retirement. And for the listeners who are tuned in to our previous episode in the previous segment, I would say, of our Independence Day special, this particular segment would focus on India's most memorable wins in the Blues, in the ODIs and T20s, which I would say coincidentally features MSD the leader more than MSD the batsman in this. So hopefully this episode would be a good tribute to what MSD has done for Indian cricket in Blues, as he has transformed them from a strong team to world beaters, something which Virat Kohli is smoothly transitioned into now. Thank you.
I would just want to mention one more famous series. It was probably, I would say, the most. Maybe the 2013 Champions Trophy would come close, and the 2017 Champions Trophy, of course, in the final we lost, but we just were running rampant throughout the series. In 2013, we won everything with the Champions Trophy, and I would still consider this series a notch higher. This was the World Series cricket, which happened in 1985. And just a couple of years after India won the World Cup. And definitely there were a little bit of questions whether it was a fluke, whether that victory happened. And then the Indian Cricket Board had, let's say, differences of opinions and a lot of confused thoughts. And that, I think, led to a couple of days even being taken out as the captain. But he was, of course, probably one of the
Sunil Gavaskar.
And it was probably the very first series which was played in the format of a Champions Trophy, where all the teams get to play against each other team in their pool, and then there was a semi-final and the final. And India played matches against Pakistan, England, and Australia in the group stages. And they won everything with these. They defeated Pakistan in the first match by 6 wickets with enough overs to spare, defeated Australia by 8 wickets, and defeated England by 86 runs. And in the semi-final, again, they just won easily against New Zealand again with 7 wickets in hand. And in the final, they absolutely thrashed Pakistan, which is like an icing on the cake. And we are talking about a Pakistan team with Mudassar Nazar, you know, Javed Miandad, Imran Khan, all these players. I mean, it was a pretty good batting lineup and a bowling lineup which Pakistan had, but just India just ran through it. Commendable performance was given by because you mentioned Sehwag, we'll have to mention the first master blaster opening batsman which India ever had, and that is Krishnamachari Srikanth. Let's say our own Krishnamachari Srikanth.
Chika. He scored.
Chika. And he scored a brilliant 93 of just about 100 and something balls against Australia, and that was a brilliant innings, which really put them off the track. And the final, he scored a rapid 67 with two huge sixes in Melbourne. So you can imagine the kind of aggression that he showed, and he pretty much ended up as the man of the match. Also, Ravi Shastri had an all-round performance in the series. He was the player of the series, and India, as the results suggested throughout the tournament, they won it hands down, you know, and it was almost like a statement to the rest of the world that yes, we are here to stay. We just did not win the 1983 World Cup by that was not a flash in the pan.
Right.
It was a solid performance. They could have even backed it up with the 87 World Cup victory, but very, very unfortunately, they lost out in the semi-finals. But that the period from 83 to 87, 88, I would say, was a golden period or a purple patch, as they call it, for the Indian team in the limited overs format of the game. So I think, yeah, with the test matches we have covered, and I think this victory in Australia was another memorable victory. Yeah.
Yeah, so I say I would like to bring in my perspective about my most memorable wins, the ODI format from India, in my opinions. So I think clearly it's a kind of a tie. If I have to say so, between two series, but both the series had one thing in common, and that is Sachin, Ramesh Tendulkar's godly batting. So that is one thing which comes the common link between India's win in the famous sandstorm series in Sharjah, the Coca-Cola Cup, where they
Absolutely.
had to. That was, I don't think any person who has followed Indian cricket in the last 30 years would not have this game in the top 5 or top 10 matches of all time. So
That
that
is probably
series,
one of the most goosebumps moments any Indian cricket fan will get.
undoubtedly, I would say, because look at the bowling attack of Australia that time. Castro Briggs, then he had Shane Warne, so he had Australian team which was very much world dominating that time. Damien Fleming, I remember, so big names. And you look at the situation in India, where India have to win, not only win a game to qualify for the final, you have to win it in, I remember, 43 or 44 overs because of the. So that scenario, and have a sandstorm in the play, among other things. And despite that, the way Sachin went on about it, that clearly is one of the many reasons why we call him God of cricket, because that was truly innings which was godly. Like, I don't know,
Absolutely.
something else controlling him, because it was extremely humid. He himself has mentioned in many interviews how physically drained he was, but still he was focused, and intention was there to win the game, despite his body had already given up, I would, 5 hours before completed his knock. So he has told this in many cases, where we had to admire the true brilliance. Again, look at the opposition, look at the conditions in Sharjah, and look at the team that time for India. It was Sachin or pretty much no one else. So he was carrying the burden of the nation, literally, in those times. That was probably Ganguly who was making his foray into the team that time. So he was not the force he was to be later on. So you had only Sachin. All the hopes of billion plus people rested on this bloke, and he was amazing. And then from a more personal thing which I consider a big, very big or landmark in India's transformation as a ODI team in the past couple of decades is India's iconic win in the CB series in 2008. So there's always a thing which I look out for on a personal basis when I see an Asian or any team coming to Australia, especially till 2011-12, you can say, when he had Ricky Ponting captaining Australia. So they were literally unstoppable at home, even away. But despite Australia losing some of their, and probably world cricket losing out some of the biggest names like Glenn McGrath, Shane Warne, that team in 2008 of Australia was a team which was pretty tough to beat. And the way Sachin went about things, and yes, you can say that it was not only a Sachin show, it was a team effort where the bowlers also did their job and curtailed Australia to targets which were achievable. Like I remember first game India had to get 238 to win. So you can say Australia were subdued by the bowling of RP Singh, Irfan Pathan, Sreeshan, Praveen Kumar, so Bhaji. So he had all those bowlers in that time who were able to pull in or rein in Gilchrist, Hayden, Ponting, Michael Hussey, Michael Clarke, Andrew Symonds. So you can see the quality of the team you are up against. So that full credit to the bowling unit, but the way Sachin maneuvered his innings, I would say is the right word, not the way he went about also, because you had an extremely young team. So it was actually a very controversial squad selection. If you clearly remember, when India went to Australia that time, they hardly had any seniors in the side, apart from Sehwag. Sehwag and Sachin were the only seniors because it was the after effect of India's brutal omission from the World Cup in the first round in 2007. So India administration wanted to revamp the side. So you had some pretty unknown names like Robin Uthappa, Rohit Sharma, all those who are. Rohit Sharma, of course, now is scoring hundreds at will, but at that time he was a newbie. So you had such people, and you had Mahendra Singh Dhoni's finest games as captain, in my opinion. I would say I would rate this almost as much as the India's 2011 World Cup win in terms of the enormity of the effort as a team, as a captain, to pull in such a young team filled with talent, of course, no doubts about it, to pull them and to rein them and to make sure they deliver to potential. I would say it came very close to what Sourav Ganguly was managed to do in the NatWest final in two. It's very similar if you look at the traits. Team which was pretty much written off because especially the final. I'm not talking about tournament as such. The final when you had Ganguly, Sachin, Sehwag, Dravid. So they are 128 for five, chasing 329. And you have Yuvraj Singh and Mohammad Kaif coming in. And then, as you know, rest is history after it. So, similar kind of thing, amazing and special tribute, I would say, could be paid to Sachin for what he has done for world cricket in this format of the game, in ODI cricket. But at the fag end of his career, he again, what he did in 98, 99, he again replicated it exactly a decade later. So hats off and truly memorable, because I was a bit stunned and shocked, but also in awe, because I, as you very well know, I am a huge fan of Ricky Ponting and that era. I'm fan of Australian cricket. I had to give it up to India. They did what I never expected them to do. I didn't expect them to win the CB series, to be frank. I expected them to reach the finals, no doubt. Probably give Australia a good fight. But the way they went about it, truly commendable job, and hats off to Tony, I would say, for his leadership in that series. I think it remains very special for many fans of the game as such, not only Indian fans.
Absolutely. It was they were fresh off the T20 victory. And the story goes that when India knew that they were going to win, I think Australia required some 20-25 of the last over or something. They were 8 or 9 down. So when the penultimate wicket went, so during the group team huddle, supposedly Tala Dhoni said to the team that, look guys, I don't want anybody of you to, you know, go over the top with the celebration. Everybody should be mild. It should not be like, you know, we have achieved something great. No, that is part of, you know, a statement for the new India we are going to give, that we are not going to consider any victory like as a huge achievement. This is something which we can do, we are supposed to do, and that we should be doing on a continuous basis. So that pretty much that stoic face which Dhoni gives was another message, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. That actually symbolizes most of his captaincy as well. So it doesn't show much emotion, the cool or uber cool kind of image which he has created, and pretty amazing actually when you look at the pressure he's under and the scanner he's under as well. So has been, I think even now, like there are about 80% of people who want him to retire, 10% who are wondering why he is not retired still, and 10% of the fans who are probably desperate for him to make a comeback to the Indian team. So that's the kind of aura he has created, I think. So pretty great. But I am curious to know, apart from in 83 World Cup win, which would pretty much be an obvious selection, I would say, in this list. Uh-huh. But have you factored in any other, especially in your personal opinion, like apart from 1983 time, like I'm curious to know your take on this.
I'm sorry. So apart from the 83 World Cup, I did not quite get your question there.
Yeah. So I just wanted to know from a personal perspective, which would rank as among your most memorable ODI wins from Indian perspective, apart from the 1983 World Cup win, as we are talking about wins prior to the prior to 2000, so in that era from the 70s to if anything stands out for you. I just wanted to know that.
The one thing which really stood out was the 1985 Benson and Hedges, which we just detailed just now. Apart from that, I don't really know if we have done something fantastic. We did win series in England, but I don't think it was such a huge exploit. Definitely, the performances in the World Tournament is pretty good. But I don't really think there are, you know, a particular, you know, ODI series which really stand out. Yes, definitely before 2000, you talk about Sachin's Sharjah innings. That was just mind-blowing. That is purely mind-blowing. That was great. The Champions Trophy in 2000, which we lost narrowly in the final, was in 2000. So I think that belongs to your category. Yeah, but yes, so there were been pretty good natural performances, but nothing, you know, worth it.
So I think now we are left with the most popular format of the game as you speak, the T20 format. So as Indian a fan or somebody who has followed the Indian T20 team's growth, I think for me, actually, the I would not, I would say 2007, of course, I would say that tournament win and the way they won against Pakistan in the final will be talked about for decades, maybe even what you call 30, 40 years down the line, I would
It
say.
is written in folklore of Indian cricket.
Yeah, folklore, literally. So, but from a personal point of view, if I had to give a game, in my opinion, which I truly was, I was at a loss for words, actually, to see how well one player is in particular, that is Virat Kohli, went about it, about his vows, was India's win in the 2014. No, sorry. Yeah. Don't remember the edition of the World T20. It was the semi final against Australia in.
I think it was CA.
Yeah, 2016. Yeah, it was mind blowing. It was
Unbelievable.
truly unbelievable the way he was going about it because. Yes, it was a stiff target. They were chasing something up above 180, I think, if I'm not wrong. So I didn't read about this game in particular. So I don't have too many stats to share and enlighten you with in particular in this game. But I would say the way Virat Kohli went about, and I think by then I was a fan, anyways. So I was not a person who converted mainly due to that game, but where I could sense that there was something special about Virat Kohli, and that we saw in Hobart in 2011 when he bludgeoned Sri Lanka and India won, chasing 320 or in 43 overs or something. So that game's sort of sealed my the spot in my personal list of greatest Indian players of all time. That one knock did all the talking it had to do. But from a T20 perspective, the enormity of the match, the opposition, who actually, if you look at it, Australia, they are not the exactly world beaters in the 2020 format. They're picking up last few years where they've clearly clear strategies in place for a T20. But in that era, 2015-16, they were not the force to reckon with, but nevertheless, they had some world beaters in their squad even then. So if you look at that side, even in 2016. So you had some real match winners there. So keeping that factor in mind, the way Virat Kohli went about his batting, I think that game made me believe that I was, after Ricky Ponting retired from the game, it was a big blow for me. I continue to maintain India has not given him enough love because India has got the fair amount of thrashing from Ponting across formats. So Indians generally don't rate Ricky Ponting too much. But it was a moment of joy, I would say, when I saw Virat Kohli beating Austin in that matter, because it reminded me of a young Ricky Ponting or upcoming Ricky Ponting. So it was really exhilarating for me. So that sealed it for me. So after that, I don't think Virat Kohli has let anyone down. Forget me. So the way he's gone about his cricket after that in all formats, especially 2016 IPL, if you remember, he almost notched up 900 and something runs, 950
Yeah,
runs, four centuries. So you're talking about every format he was doing unparalleled stuff. So we can, of course, question the oppositions he played, but that's not in his control. So it's something which he gets, it's what you make out of it. So that's what Virat Kohli, 2016 was
truly Virat Kohli's golden, the probably not even golden diamond or emerald year or something, if I had to term it that way. Everything was going. And why that this game specifically stands out is I was in pursuit or seek, I was searching for the next Ricky Ponting in terms of the flair, aggression, attitude, skill, and the manner you play in a high pressure situation. So I don't want to take you back to the 2003 World Cup final again, I would say. But if you look at how we went about that game, it is very similar to how Virat Kohli went about demolishing Australia in Mohali. So that stands out. Any specific game for you in T20s, or is it the 2007 World T20 triumph as a whole on?
I mean, it's really tough to look past the innings which Virat Kohli played, and I really consider it as probably the one of the greatest T20 innings of all time, probably the second best, because first is and will always be Mike Hussey's innings against Pakistan, 60 of 24 in the 2010 T20 World Cup. I think after that, I think the best T20 innings I've seen is actually Virat Kohli, because coming in and chasing is probably the toughest thing to do in this game of cricket. And definitely, Virat Kohli is the master, when it comes to chases. But if you are asking, as you would really know, I'm not a huge fan of T20 cricket. But if you ask me, Raghav, definitely you still remember the six sixes which Shivraj Singh hit. That is something you wouldn't forget. And of course, the 2007 World Cup victory as a whole was something which you cannot really go past. So a few wonderful performances in the international league in T20, but yeah, for this one I would really want to fit with you. I think Virat Kohli's innings really stands up there.
Yeah, I completely agree. So, and I'm also of the same opinion as you. I think so, because I'm pretty sure. I don't follow T20 cricket as much, but although I enjoy watching West Indies and England of late when they go about their game T20, it is definitely entertaining and fun. But as we don't go back and revisit. So we had to put it that way. So this game comes to my mind because of what it meant to me as a, from a personal point of view. But yeah, so that was truly a very, let's say, patriotic round of discussion, and we went through a lot of epic games. So I would want to end this Independence Day special with a fun and special segment in this special episode. So it's called How Much of an Indian Fan Are You? So I know that you're a big Indian cricket team fan. So I'm not a fan of the Indian team. So just want to put it out there. I am an admirer of many players in this Indian team, but I am not a fan as such. On the fandom or the it peaks only when India take on Pakistan, which happens once in 2 years, I guess. So apart from that, I get scolded, I get taunted at home when I support Australia or England when India takes on England. But that's how life is, I guess. I'm not going to support India just because they happen to be from a country where I am from where I hail from. But yeah, we can have our choices. So it's something which everyone, so
We can
not
agree to disagree.
right to so I just wanted to get your thoughts on few aspects of being an Indian fan. So what, how big? So to start off, I would say in your personal experience in Sepak, so two iconic games happened in the history of Indian cricket. I would say, no, I think one was the 1998-9 test match India-Pakistan, where Sachin batted with the swollen back, and then after he got out, India's tail collapsed in a really disheartening and heartbreaking fashion, and India lost that game. And the 2008, which was right before the terror attacks happened so if given a opportunity to go back in time, which match would you have wanted to watch in the stadium?
I think, Raghav, without doubt, the answer naturally comes from what we both have mentioned. You just mentioned a couple of seconds back then that, you know, even though you are more of not a great, you know, diehard fan of the Indian cricket team, it peaks while playing Pakistan. Definitely the 1998 match of India versus Pakistan. Oh. I mean, I know India lost the match, but I will take it with a pinch of salt. But being in that atmosphere, watching Sachin Tendulkar smack, you know, Wasim and Wakar and Shoaib Akhtar and Saqlain Mushtaq for that unbelievable innings. And I think they were 253 for 5 chasing 271, just 18 runs to get when Sachin got out, 18 runs, 5 wickets in hand. I think that is almost a bit like life, isn't it? You know, you cannot take anything for granted.
True.
Getting out and then things going completely haywire after that. I think that's also a situation wherein you need to stand by your team where when they lose. Yeah, so I think it was, though the chasing 387 is no easy task. It's not something you do in your backyard every day. Tendulkar again played a fantastic innings.
Yeah.
That innings against Pakistan with a broken back, you know, scoring 150 odd, 136, I think, sorry. 136 was the score that he did easily. I would pay anything to watch that match.
Amazing. Yeah, even I agree with this. I have the same. I echo your sentiments and the fact that the audiences gave a standing ovation to the Pakistan cricket team is true test of why cricket should be played more often at the Sepak. So that's a different debate altogether. But anyway, moving on to the next question I wanted to ask is, in your opinion, who has been India's most influential cricketer over the years, in your personal opinion? So who has shaped India the most? It doesn't have to act with what they call tons of stats. Like, for example, Sachin Tendulkar. He has got 100 hundreds, but has he defined Indian cricket as such? I'm not sure, but this one, no. Like, who's that one player that comes to us?
I think if I say Sachin Ramesh Tendulkar, it will be a normal answer. It's an answer which anybody would give, but fortunately or unfortunately, I will have to go with it, because for Tendulkar it was Kapil Dev. He said that the 1983 Cup winning was the moment which turned the match. But for every aspect of life, you need a face. If cricket is a brand, then you need a face for that brand, so that it picks up in your market and it becomes a craze. And for Indian cricket, that was Sachin Tendulkar. He came in as a 16-year-old boy. He was your guy in your backyard, and that was probably the time when you know, most of India had got a television set and they started watching cricket on TV. And that was then, and now with this little kid, you know, he was 16. And then he had a very he had a kid's voice, and they are facing attack against Pakistan, the great Imran Khan, Wasim Wakar, etc. And then he goes on to Australia and scores a brilliant 100. And then I still remember, I think it was, I don't really know who it was, but I think it was Merv Hughes, who went to Alan Border, you know, in 1991. I really do not know who this kid is, but I really feel that this guy is going to give a lot of headache over the next 15, 20 years. And really, that's what happened. More. Yeah, and once India started donning the blue colors, I think that was then everything, you know, went off the roof. Sachin really became a face. You know, he was there in your Pepsi ads. He was there in every advertisement. He was there on TV. He was there in all the magazines. He was there in all the new, you know, the new brands of cars. He was just more than cricket. You know, he was probably the voice of a new India, new developing India in the 90s. And the poster boy for Indian development. And no wonder he came to be known as the god of the game.
Yeah, so I would... Yeah, I'm not sure if my answer would be too different from that, because you can't get any better than the master himself. So with his monumental efforts, so I would leave it to that. So that, but I have a very kind of a weird question, if I had to put it. If you had to pick three Pakistani cricketers over the years who you would want to play for India, who are the three? So I can give my personal three favorites. It would be Imran Khan, Wasim Akram, and Babar Azam. I would have loved to see them play for India. Means, of course, it's very hypothetical, obviously. But just for what they brought to the sport, Imran Khan, his flair and the attitude and the confidence with which he won the 92 World Cup. And then Wasim Akram, I don't need to elaborate why you, any team, anyone would want to have him in this team. And when you look at Babar Azam and prospect of him partnering Virat, it gives goosebumps as a, I'm asking you the question. So I just want to, I'm curious to know your three players in your opinion. From
Naturally, the first two players come to my mind are obviously Wasim and Wakar. Wasim and Wakar, definitely, because, you know, India had a huge dearth of fast bowlers, at least until, you know, 3-4 years back. Now we probably have the best test fast bowling attack. But then definitely in the 1990s, Wasim and Wakar were the best fast bowling unit in the world. And then, you know, if India had that sort of a bowling attack, we could have had a lot more, you know, memorable test victories, I believe, which we could have talked about today. The third one is more of a personal choice rather than, a logical one. But I would say that's Yunus Khan. I think Yunus Khan is probably my favorite Pakistani batsman. I don't know. I really like the guy. His demeanor, the way in which he conducts himself. Of course, he's a great batsman. He has scored hundreds everywhere in the world. I think he's the highest run scorer for Pakistan in Test cricket. Most hundreds, most centuries, everything is Yunus Khan. Probably the great of the game. But more than all of that, I have a personal liking to his, the way he scores runs. Very unassuming cricketer. You talk about Inzamam ul Haq, and then you also talk about probably a Saeed Anwar, and then a Afridi, And then, of course, Wasim and Vakar and all of these players. And then Yunus Khan is somebody who is not at all talked about. You know, probably not even talked about as much as Misbah ul Haq. But then, at the end of the day, he is probably one of the greatest ever players that Pakistan have produced. And that's one player who I would want. Taking the question on a different level. If you think you could bring one player before the 1990s, one player who played before the 1990s, let's say three players, I would want probably a batsman, bowler, and an all-rounder. If you want to bring three players on to the current Indian cricket team today, who would those three Indian cricketers be?
Interesting question, but I think answer is not, won't surprise you, I feel. One would be Krishma Srikanth for being what Sehwag was later on. Come in at the top of the order and just go about his business. And just for being the character he is. So it's not only about what you do on the field, it's about your image, your what you bring to the sport as well. So cricket as of now, I think, especially in the last few years, is lacking characters for want of the industry. So Srikanth would have been a great value add. Kapil Dev, I would say, is India's finest all-rounder ever to have played the thing. So from in all formats, Kapil Dev, even in T20, I would think Kapil Dev would have excelled with his batting and bowling. And I would go for probably, I am a little confused between Chandrasekhar or Bishan Singh Bedi, but I'll go with Bishan Singh Bedi because I love the man's frankness and honesty of the sport, of the game, what he brings in offline, whenever I watch his interview. So I have started to like him as a personality more. And I have watched his, and that bloke could ball. So with his action, beautiful action, means you could watch him ball the full day, I think. So I would say these three would be my pick in the current lot. If I could bring in three from the era gone by. So these are my choices.
Another question is, if you would want to swap three players like for like, if you're going to swap three players like for like, who would that be? So you need to swap MS Dhoni, you need to swap Cheteshwar Pujara, and you need to swap Jasprit Bumrah. So just imagine these three players are not in the Indian team. Who do you replace them with?
So are you asking for a swap from the era gone by, like 80s, 90s, or in the... Okay. Tough one. But yeah, I think... I think I liked what I would say Venkatesh Prasad brought to the Indian bowling attack in the 90s. Especially in the one-day format. So I think if you can deliver some strikes and come in the death overs and ball your cutters, yorkers, slow ones, which Bumrah does with ease, I think that would be Venkatesh Prasad. And then Dhoni, I'm not sure because I'm not seeing an Indian keeper who's as... I mean, I am a critic of MS Dhoni as a captain. It means I'm not a big fan of his captaincy, but as a wicketkeeper, I have not seen anyone as effortless as him. But if I had to give a name, that would be Farooq Engineer, if you ask me.
Fantastic pick.
Seen extremely efficient behind the sticks. Again, a character, a man who was a face Indian cricket in the 1960s, if you had to call it, which Dhoni is as well, even continues to be. Now, face of Indian cricket, face of CSK. So from that perspective, and Cheteshwar Pujara, I think it's a pretty easy. Sunil Gavaskar. Not exactly from strike rate perspective, from the kind of impact a batsman can through just mental power and this batting. Pujara and Sunil Gavaskar, I think it's equal, I think, match.
Absolutely, absolutely. Fantastic episode, actually. I really, you absolutely feel happy when you are able to mention, you know, the cricketers who have really shaped the history of Indian cricket, you know, and like we were, you know, lucky enough to have all those flag bearers of the game who have passed on to the baton. To the greats of the current game, like, you know, we have Kohli, Rohit Sharma, Dhoni, and then we had Dravid and Lakshman and Ganguly. So, fantastic. So, Indian cricket, the people have really, you know, made sure that it is in safe hands. And it's as I have said and always will keep saying that, you know, it's a special feeling to be following our country's game. Any closing comments, Raghav?
Yeah, so I think it is a pretty, as you very well said, it is very indeed a special moment, because when you grow and when you start to reach the age where you are completely in sync with the sport, like your life almost revolves around the game. So you have faces, you have teams that you associate with. So of course, for you, it is predominantly the West Indies team of the 80s and then probably Indian team later on. For me, it is Steve Waugh and Ricky Ponting's Australia. But what Saurav Ganguly did, what Rahul Dravid's team bought, what Dhoni's team bought about, of course, not in test matches in particular, but in overall what Dhoni has done for Indian, we can't take away what is achieved. So it is pretty special, and it's an honor. I would say again, I would say that I am among the privileged few who can follow the game and who can present his views through my articles or through this podcast with you on Indian cricket, on cricket in general, because it has shaped my and even your life in a huge way. So it's a very special feeling to have revisited Indian cricket and its memorable wins. And hopefully, as we have been discussing, hopefully we could have India and Australia clashing horns in Australia later on this year. So as a closing final comment, it's not been a very pleasant year globally due to the pandemic. I think the year would end on a perfect note if India could take on Australia. Cricket as such would come back to normal if the IPL starts. I am not personally looking forward to that tournament anyways, to be frank. So I am waiting for a series. Hopefully, with Steve Smith and David Warner in the rank, Australian ranks, we see extremely hard-fought contest. And I don't want to reveal the winner, but I would say it is going to, I think that's going to shape what you're going to see in the coming years as well. I feel, I have a strong feeling. It's not going to be one cricket series, because it's Australia at the best. They have ever been in the last few years as a test team versus Indian test team, which has been at its best probably in decades, I would say, the strength they have now. So it's a mouth-watering, and I'm almost with joy here as I think about the series. So let's hope for the best, and let's hope that Indian cricket goes up and rises even further, and we get more memories to cherish as we go on in our lives as well. And it is really fantastic having this episode on a very special occasion. So I would say kudos for that, and thank you. Thanks for this. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Raghav. It was a pleasure.
Yeah. Bye. Cool.